I'm prepared as a matter of faith to accept that life begins at the moment of conception. For me to impose that judgment on everyone else is inappropriate in a pluralistic society.
I can do my part doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline and pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that.
Barack Obama was a community organizer like Jesus. Pontius Pilate was a governor.
The God that Dawkins and Hitchens and Sam Harris reject is not the God of the seeker-sensitive, user-friendly theological model. That God doesn't worry them at all.
Well, we've established on the basis of several conversations with Dennis DeMauro so far here on Issues, etc., that from the Old Testament times through the New Testament times, the early church, the Middle Ages, the church's message on life has been consistent. It's a consistent defense of life from beginning to end. Now, you got to ask the question, when did things begin to change? When did it become considered acceptable in Christian circles of thought to consider the unborn less than human and not worthy of protection, not only in the way we think about them, but also in our laws? Did it happen sometime later than that? We're going to be talking about some of the great minds, prominent theologians since the time of the Reformation, and their views on the unborn and on the protection of life from beginning to end here in the first few minutes of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live this Tuesday. It's the 16th of September. You can join us. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. You can email your questions or comments to us here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Now, a little later in the program, we're going to be spending some time with Dr. Meg Meeker. She's written a new book called Boys Should Be Boys. I've got a boy at home. I grew up in a family of five boys. We're going to talk about what boys need. A lot of them are not getting it. A little later, Wendy Wright of Concerned Women for America will be our guest. The National Organization for Women has endorsed Senator Barack Obama and Senator Biden for president and vice president. We'll see what Wendy thinks about that. In the second hour of the program, Pastor Will Wheaton will join us briefly to talk about third century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. And then we'll round off today's Issues, Etc. program with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, the beginning of a four-part series with him on the solas of the Reformation, their Christ alone. Well, usually they go in this order: grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, and then sometimes people even leave off Christ alone. There are four great solas. We'll begin with the one that matters most, without which the others make no sense whatsoever: Christ alone. Later on, Issues, Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dennis DeMauro is a regular guest. He's Secretary of the National Pro-Life Religious Council, President of Northern Virginia Lutherans for Life, and author of the new book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection of the Unborn. Dennis, welcome back.
Thanks a lot.
Well, let's start with one of the greatest minds, arguably that of Martin Luther. Was he pro-life?
He absolutely was pro-life. Let me give you a little quote from Martin Luther. He wrote, "He," meaning God, "is not hostile to children as we are, but God emphasizes his word to such an extent that he sometimes gives offspring even to those who do not desire it, yes, even hate it. How great, therefore, the wickedness of human nature is, how many girls there are who prevent conception and kill and expel tender fetuses, although procreation is the work of God." So Luther kind of, you know, Luther understands the human heart, and he understands that we're not always, we don't always act the way we should in so many situations, and one of them is when we find out that our spouse or our girlfriend or whoever is pregnant. We react in such a negative fashion when really God is just the opposite. He just loves a new child and a new gift that he's given us. And so he not only shows in this quote how terrible abortion is and how wrong it is against God's law, but he also shows just how far we are off the mark so many times.
Were the other reformers, not necessarily of the Lutheran stripe, but perhaps of other stripes, were they unanimous with men like Luther on the protection of life from beginning to end?
They were. John Calvin, of course, the great leader of the Presbyterian denominations and the Reformed denominations, he wrote this. He said, "The fetus, though enclosed in the womb of its mother, is already a human being, and it is almost a monstrous crime to rob it of the life which it has not yet begun to enjoy. If it seems more horrible to kill a man in his own house than in a field, because a man's house is his place of most secure refuge, it ought surely to be deemed more atrocious to destroy a fetus in the womb before it has come to light." So, I mean, that actually is very powerful, I think, is, you know, this place that is supposed to be a place of defense of the child, where the child is nurtured and loved and the child grows. Instead, today, it's become a place of where a child is most vulnerable. And that's how Calvin puts it and how dreadful a crime it is.
Dennis, it sounds as though, I mean, we're talking about here the two great lights of the Protestant Reformation, Luther and Calvin. It sounds like these men not only had positions on abortion, but they were well aware that it was a commonplace occurrence in their society.
Oh, absolutely. They knew it was an occurrence that was occurring, and they weren't afraid to speak out against it. So not only in Europe, but what's also interesting in the book, I also found a great quote from Wesley. And Wesley was, of course, a great missionary in the United States and all over England. And he did a missionary journey to Georgia in 1736. And let me do a quote here. This is from one of the Indian chiefs that he was speaking to. You know, at that time, and abortion was commonplace among the Indians in many tribes here in America. And when Christianity came, it was kind of an eye opener to them of the morality of you know, the problems with abortion and how immoral it was. And the Indian chief spoke to, this is from his diary, Wesley's diary, and the chief said, "He will not teach us," meaning God, "will not teach us while our hearts are not white, and our men do what they know is not good. They kill their own children, and our women do what they know is not good. They kill the child before it's born. Therefore, he that is above does not send us the good book." So you can see the result of the missionary activity that is they're not only bringing the gospel, but they're bringing Christian morality, which was definitely against infanticide and abortion. And you can see how the Indian chief is reacting to this kind of a revelation of the sinfulness that they really didn't understand before.
We've been hearing lately from prominent Roman Catholics. I'm thinking in this case of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Joseph Biden, Senator, and vice presidential candidate, both Roman Catholics, who have said, or at least insinuated, that the Roman Catholic Church has had an undecided position on the protection of life. Do the historical records of the Roman Church indicate this?
No, and that's why this is especially troubling. I was glad to see that the Bishop of San Francisco is asking Nancy Pelosi for a meeting to discuss her positions, because she's, you know, she is the Speaker of the House and a avowed Catholic, and she's therefore, in kind of a strange way, she speaks for the Catholic Church, and certainly the bishops, the Catholic bishops in the United States, understand that, and they want a meeting with her because she's saying things that are clearly untrue. One of them was that the Catholic Church has only decided within the last 50 years that abortion is a sinful act, and that's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's been condemned many, many times over the history of the Church, and it's been very consistent.
With only about a minute, I did want to jump ahead to Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You have a tremendous quote from him in your book in respect to the protection of life. What was Bonhoeffer's thoughts here, a man who dealt very intimately with death on a mass scale? Only about a minute to respond, Dennis.
Well, I think what's interesting about Bonhoeffer, and it should be kind of a light to the people kind of on the liberal side of the fence in the United States. You know, Bonhoeffer was not really an evangelical or a person that would be considered a conservative Christian in his day. He was very liberal. He was a pacifist. He was very into ecumenical activities, and very, very open to those types of things. So he was really, he taught at Union Theological Seminary, okay? Now, you can't get much more liberal than that. But yet he was staunchly pro-life, and we see this in his quote that he does in his book called Ethics. He said, the destruction of the embryo in the mother's womb is a violation of the right to live, which God has bestowed upon this nascent life. To raise the question whether we are concerned here with a human being or not is merely to confuse the issue. The simple fact is that God certainly intended to create a human being, and that this nascent human being has been deliberately deprived of his life. And that is nothing but murder. And so, I mean, Bonhoeffer, a guy who's kind of a light to liberal Christian thinkers, is staunchly pro-life. And it can show you how even that perspective can bring a very, very strong and a very, very powerful pro-life witness.
Dennis DeMauro, thank you very much for being our guest.
Sure, thank you so much.
Dennis DeMauro is author of the book, A Love for Life, Christianity's Consistent Protection for the Unborn. You can find out more about A Love for Life on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, what do boys need? We'll be talking about that with Dr. Meg Meeker, author of the book, Boys Should Be Boys. Stay tuned.
What is it, Captain?
Whatever it is, it's incredibly advanced.
Hey, iPhone users, you can now listen to Issues Etc. live on your iPhone. Find out by going to piratechristianradio.com and click the iPhone link on the homepage. You no longer have to sit by your PC, laptop, or home radio to listen to Issues Etc. live. piratechristianradio.com and look for the iPhone icon.
With something much, much more. And it's going to change everything.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What happens to unborn babies in a partial birth abortion is shocking. Each year, thousands of partial birth abortions are performed in the fifth or sixth month of pregnancy or even later on healthy babies of healthy mothers. One federal judge called partial birth abortion gruesome and barbaric. Yet in spite of overwhelming public support for a ban on this brutal procedure, the Supreme Court ruled that Roe v. Wade not only allows but protects this painful procedure. This has been a Perspective on Life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Joanne Dickey, Angela Bolger, Werner and Carol Jaskin, Matthew Pancake, Anita Mueller, Hannah Johnson, Kirsten Johnson, Sandra Ostapowicz, Dennis Schutt, and Kenneth Johnson. Thanks for your support.